Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument is Hardesty v. Astru. So we'll hear from Mr. Little.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, first of all, for allowing me to testify telephonically because of my schedule. I do appreciate that.
Okay.
Mr. Hardesty is a disabled veteran, disabled in May of 1969, 100% disability at the Veterans Administration. At a hearing, a first hearing in August of 2005, Judge Hansen, who is also a veteran himself, stated they need the medical records and the military records. That was supplied, and 2 months later, in October of 2005, yet 17 months later, a different judge ruled adversely against Mr. Hardesty. The VE, the vocational expert, was there, never testified, and there was never a supplemental hearing. We filed our first brief to the Court of Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in August of 2009, in which we allege six errors, each one of which.
So, Mr. Little, this is Judge Wood, but I wanted to say to you that this page in the record that you referred us to, page 281, does not contain any reference to records that cover the period of time that the administrative law judge was concerned about, namely the period after the determination that he wasn't disabled and before his date last insured, essentially between September 71 and March 73. These are all documents from 1969, and so I was not able to find anything in the record prior to the new information being submitted that covered that 18-month period.
Your Honor, I don't believe it's necessary that we have to have evidence right during that period of time. The fact that he he didn't appeal his decision. It doesn't mean that he was not disabled.
Well, actually, as a matter of law, it does mean that we have to assume that he was, as of September 71, not disabled, and somehow he became disabled by March 73. That's just the res judicata effect of the earlier decision.
Well, I think if you can use evidence prior to that. In other words, you can always use evidence to demonstrate that at the time of a date last insured that he was disabled, regardless of when that evidence came in, and this evidence was before that date.
Well, but that's the problem.
I disagree that the fact that you could not use this evidence prior to still show that at the date last insured he was disabled.
But, you know, if you look at the ALJ's comments to you in the hearing, he's saying things like, you know, I need some evidence about this 71 to 73 period. He says at one point there isn't a page. He says at another point, in terms of actual records, I have not so much as a small jot of ink. And, you know, when the records finally came in after the case came to this court, the very sort of thing the ALJ wanted was finally in the record. But your argument seems to be it was there all along, and I repeat that I just don't see it there from a prior time.
I know there were some records that were destroyed, and I think we've alluded to that. That's been a problem with a lot of the veterans, with the records being destroyed. Mr. Hardesty was continuing, I know, to see the Veterans Administration on a regular basis where he was. He wasn't in Frankfurt at that time. And I know what you're saying, but I still believe that the records that you have, and even the records that were submitted at a later date, still confirm his disability even during that period of time of 71, because a lot of these records that we had in the supplemental records refer back to 69, 70, and 71 during the time that that he was still being treated, had his 24 surgeries and so on.
Wait a minute. We're not here on a question whether Mr. Hardesty was disabled. As far as I understand, you got your sentence for remand. This is an attorney's fees case, and it's about whether, in light of the record that it was working with, the position of the commissioner was substantially justified. And if this evidence doesn't come in until the 11th hour, then well, that's what the district court thought, and that's why the district court ruled that the commissioner's position was substantially justified.
I understand that, and again, I say that though that evidence was cumulative and corroborative rather than evidence which would have been material to a determination, I think it corroborated completely, substantially the disability of Mr. Hardesty. Had the whole continuing disability since his initial injury in May of 1969.
But was it unreasonable for the Social Security Administration to want to have records from 71 and 72?
Yes, it is reasonable.
They asked for the records, and
I'm sorry.
So they asked for the records. Eventually, they were produced, and then you got the benefits. So what exactly did they do that was unreasonable?
The main issue I believe is important is that when the ruling came out.
What did the Social Security Administration do that was unreasonable?
Well, yeah, they didn't apply by the Hallecks when they switched judges. There were three things that were not done when you have a new judge. There's no problem to have a new judge, but there need to have an affirmative statement by the previous ALJ that the decision in order was approved, that he had read the decision and concurred with it, and that there was an affirmative statement that he authorized the new judge to make that decision. And we think that's critical, and that should have been done in this matter, and it was not. It was simple to do.
I don't understand you. What does that have to do with the missing records?
Pardon me?
What does that have to do with the missing records?
Well, I think it does not allow. And if we had gone back, if the commissioner had looked at this and made the decision in 2007 to remand and seen this error, we would not be here today, and I think that probably that matter could have been corrected. Again, we do have a problem with Veterans Administration records, and the records during that time, there was a notation that there was a fire in St. Louis, and some of these records were destroyed and not available. That does not mean, however, that there were records or that that Mr. Hardesty wasn't continuing to have his treatment at the during this period of time.
I'm not sure if you're keeping track of your time, Mr. Little.
You can still use the records the whole time before that time to still demonstrate that during the period of time of the date last insured, after that that date, that he was disabled. And I think the record's clear that he was disabled and continues to be disabled. And I think there's another issue, too, on the fact that if the commissioner had done what it should have done in 2007 and remanded this case, that Mr. Hardesty would have had his hearing much sooner, not 4 years later after that decision, which we are having another hearing coming up this month.
Okay, you want to reserve the rest of your time for You want to reserve the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Okay.
We'll hear from Mr. Guerin.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, James Guerin for the Commissioner. I think the Court understands that this case is actually relatively straightforward. Mr. Hardesty was told by the ALJ at the hearing exactly what he needed to produce. He had been found not disabled as of September 1971, and he had to establish an onset date of disability between that date and March of 1973, when his insured status expired. He wasn't able to produce that evidence, and he lost. Years later, when the case was pending before this court, he did produce the evidence, and the commissioner did the right thing. The commissioner looked at the evidence, said this is the kind of evidence that the ALJ was asking for initially, and therefore we agreed to remand the case for consideration by the agency. The district court certainly did not abuse its discretion in finding that the commissioner's actions on those two points were substantially justified. And for that reason, we ask the court to affirm the district court.
And but he hasn't received the benefits yet, has he?
Not to my knowledge.
That's a subject of a current proceeding of some sort?
I believe he has a hearing in a couple of weeks, Your Honor.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Barron. So do you have anything further, Mr. Little?
May I please, court, I still believe that had the commissioner recognized this error, which we think is significant, in 2007, and I said the Halleck is very clear. There are three things that are required.
What was the error you say they should have recognized?
They should have, in 2000, they should have recognized when the hearing came down by Judge Davis 17 months later, a different judge than Judge Hansen, there was a problem, and should have verified that.
What was the error? I don't understand. Forget the two judges. What was the error?
The error was in requiring these. Halleck's 1, 2, 8, 40.
Are you saying that the 1969 documents were sufficient to establish that he was disabled between 71 and 73? Is that your argument?
I think, yes, Your Honor, I think you could look at that and say yes, that he was clearly that he was disabled. He didn't, even though you didn't have records right during that time, you can still take records any time to look at whether or not he was, make a decision, was the claimant disabled?
But if he wasn't disabled in, if he wasn't disabled in 69, how could the same evidence show he was disabled in 71?
I say he was disabled in 69.
Yeah, but you lost that case, right?
Well,
when he didn't appeal, that made the rejection of his benefits a final judgment.
That would have been administrative, as opposed to having a. It was administrative. It wasn't an ALJ that.
So what? It's final, right? You have an administrative judgment, turns you down. You have a right of appeal. You don't appeal. That's the end of it. Right?
At that point, yes. But that does not mean that the court cannot look at evidence, at any time, evidence.
No, come on. That doesn't make any sense. Look, you introduce evidence to show disability in 69, you lose. Now, I can imagine evidence that said, well, he's not disabled now, but he will be in 2 years. I mean, I can imagine that, but that's not what's involved here. If he wasn't disabled in 69, he wasn't disabled in 71, right? Unless there's new evidence about his situation 2 years later, that he was deteriorating.
I understand the argument. I do still feel that when the decision came out, however, that in 2007, that the commissioner should have brought this to the attention of to all of us and made a decision that there's something wrong about the decision and brought this, rather than us having to pursue this matter, the district court.
You should have appealed. There should have been an appeal in 69 if there was something wrong with the decision. You don't come back years and years later relitigating a case you didn't appeal. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Little. We'll take the case under advisement.
Your accommodation, Your Honor.
Next case for argument, Johnson versus Bayfield County. Mr. Stewart.